hearing Nathan talk about Nashville got me thinking of my own experience with Nashville inner city. I don't remember what it was for, but we took a group of kids to the water park and had the moment where I took all the boys with me and a couple other guys into the changing room. They're changing, and one of the boys, as I take off my shirt, goes, "What's that?" And he sees these wonderful lines that are on the side of my stomach that some of you are already figuring out. But for him, he didn't know what this was, the scar that he saw. So I said, "I wrestled a polar bear and won." And it was this wonderful moment where this kid at 8 years old went around telling everyone for the day that Andrew beat a polar bear and won. I saw the scars where it ripped his sides and he won. Didn't have the heart to tell him later that those were stretch marks. But it is, it's fun working with kids like that because they are a handful. They are not going to hold back from pointing things out and telling you how they feel. But we've been in the series Zoom Out, and we've gone through the entire Old Testament. And next week we're going to start the New Testament, but today I wanted to do a little zoom in. And so what I want to do is we're going to look through one book of the Bible. We're going to look through the story of Jonah today and kind of show you how this big story has been playing out and kind of help us see this big story, how as you look, and we're not zooming in. Like, Jonah's one of those. We could do a whole series on just Jonah. You want to really get into the weeds, talk with Devin about Jonah. He starts geeking out really quickly. Even working on this lesson, I kept thinking of the things I wanted to talk about, and I was like, I don't have time. This is supposed to be just a quick overview of showing how the story is playing out. But that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the story of Jonah and see how this bigger story is flowing through it and playing in, and how the story itself basically acts out that story again and again. And the truth is, most stories through our scriptures are doing this. I just picked the one that's one of the easier ones to do. So our story starts off just like the Bible, creation. We enter in and we get our character. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now we start off there because that's all we get. So that's the only little bit of creation. We get this character, Jonah, prophet of God, somewhere in the during the kings. And we find Jonah getting a message from God. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, he's given his own command. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. Now, unlike Adam and Eve, where we don't know how much time took place before they ate the fruit, Jonah, on the other hand, we get it pretty quickly. The very next verse. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. To get away from the Lord, he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, and hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Now, I want you to understand, I saw this map looking, I remember this map that Nathan showed the teens when he did the Minor Prophets. And I just love how easy it is to see when we talk about the opposite direction. You've got Nineveh over here and Tarshish over here. He picked the furthest place he could find in the opposite direction to go. This wasn't I kind of made a mistake moment. I mean, no, he was very deliberate in saying, okay, if God wants me to go this way, I'm going this way. And not only that, he picks as far a place. I mean, this is one of the last places you can find before you start hitting the ocean. There is not much past this. He's literally going to the ends of the earth in his mind to get away from what God is asking him to do. Even the writer, it shows you in this moment, if you look at the ESV, it plays with words. In verse 3, it says he went down to Joppa. He went down into it, talking about the boat. In verse 5, it says, but Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. God had said, get up and go. And Jonah continues to go down and down and down, even eventually, as we know, gets thrown into the water where he sinks And it doesn't say down there, but we know that he continues to go down. This is where we find Jonah. He immediately goes against God. His fall happens so quickly. And it's interesting because then the writer wants you to play this idea. I mean, God does what he said. We've seen this cycle, right? We fall short. And so God says, okay, I'll pull back my blessing. I'll pull back my hand to allow you to experience life without me. And the storm rises in. The storm comes in. And it's interesting because he's asleep through this moment. The sailors are freaking out. They figure out that Jonah's the cause of it. Jonah has to admit he's been running from God. And the comical thing in it is his answer is not to obey God, but to throw him overboard. For him thinking that maybe even death will help me escape God. I truly believe Jonah couldn't swim. I believe when he was saying, toss me over, it wasn't him trying to be noble. It was him trying to still get away from God. Which is why it's so fascinating to see when the sailors see this moment, it's the sailors who come to God. It says the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. This flip moment where in this story, it's supposed to be the prophet, the one who's calling out to God, who interprets for God, and yet it's these sailors who know nothing, who are the ones that are turning to God and coming to know him. Jonah, on the other hand, is sinking, and yet even in his moment of trying to get away, it says, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days. And 3 nights. And I love this because we always want to make it about the fish, the story. This fish is Jonah's salvation, not his punishment. He was sinking. He was dying. He was trying to get away from God. And it says the Lord arranged for this fish to swallow him. God sent the hope and salvation that Jonah needed in the most weird of ways. But he sent salvation to Jonah, and it's in this moment that it seems like Jonah has this turn of heart. Hear the beautiful prayer that even in the depths, or as Jonah says, I sink down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. We see that pivot moment, and just like that pivot moment for all of Israel in the story, God listens. And now he's thrown up onto dry land, given the same message, and this time he goes to Nineveh. And so he goes to Nineveh, and on the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's what every preacher wants to preach, right? That's that heartwarming message for everybody. This is it. This is all we get. We don't know if there was more to it, and this is just a summary. We don't know. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's even less. It's only 5 words in the Hebrew language, which I just find fascinating that in 5 words, Jonah is able to change everything. Because what we find is it says the very next thing, the people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. This is where it gets even more comical. It says, from the first to the least, the king gets involved and he tells everyone, even the animals have to repent. Again, this is Jonah is supposed to be funny. You're supposed to laugh at these moments that even the cows are getting involved and they're repenting to God for everything going on. Because as we're going to see, it flips again. But God sees this repentant heart. God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways. He changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. And so follow me for a second. Here we have, we were talking last week about that cycle of sin that happens. Looks like this. God blesses people, a nation, a world. Disobedience comes. Discipline. God pulling back. An outcry happens, God hears, and he delivers. And blessing follows again in this cycle. First, we see this with Jonah. Jonah's given the blessing of being the prophet of God. He's given this command, and he disobeys. A storm is sent. He cries out in the belly of a fish, and he is heard and delivered. And he goes to Nineveh. Nineveh lives out the same thing. Nineveh is already a place, but they're not living in blessing. They've been living in disobedience. And so God is ready to discipline them, but he sends them one warning, a single phrase, which basically is turn or burn. And they cry out. So much so that even it says the animals are crying out. They hear and they listen, and God hears them and pulls back his judgment. And they discover the blessing. So already in just one story, we've seen the cycle happen twice now, but here's the interesting thing. Remember, this is a repeating cycle. A cycle that we keep trying to figure out, remember, who's going to break the cycle finally, and we get to Jonah again. And we think maybe this is it. He's learned his lesson, and yet this is where we find Jonah. And this is the part of Jonah I love, because this is the part people leave out most of the times. I was so happy when they added it to VeggieTales. Jonah gets angry. He finds a spot to sit down and complain. It says, so he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Jonah is upset. Now, we haven't given you a lot of context. Again, we don't have time to get into the weeds. Nineveh was an awful place. Like, awful. The way they did warfare, the way that they treated people and their slaves, they were awful. And so in Jonah's mind, they don't deserve my God. And we find out the heart of Jonah isn't a fear or a disobedience in the sense of just, I don't want to. It's a no. He doesn't want these people to enjoy the same blessing that he has. And so he tried to run from it. And now he's confronting God to the point that he simply just looks at God and says, just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. And again, this is supposed to be a comedy. This is supposed to be this moment where it's over the top. You're supposed to feel weird about this moment. And another little story happens in this moment. Overnight, God makes a plant grow up to give shade because this eastern wind is scorching and the heat is getting to Jonah. And he has wonderful moment where this lovely tree has come out of the ground and is giving him shade and life and blessing. But he still sits there waiting for these people to be destroyed, seeing if God will change his mind again and take them out. And so the next night, God sends a worm. And the worm eats through the plant, and now the plant has died. And we find Jonah back in the same spot he was a couple of days ago, complaining to die again because it's just not worth it. And we get to this question. Then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?" And that's how the book of Jonah ends. It ends with this question. Are you're sad about this plant because you saw its potential and it died the next day? Can you not understand these people that I care about? Maybe I see the potential in them and care about them too. And the question is left not just for Jonah to answer, but really for all of us. I love the literary work in this moment because it's really asking you, the reader, are you okay with this? Are you okay when the people that you don't want to have God's blessing are held back from it? Are you okay when God's people aren't living the way they should and it's the people who don't know God who are representing God better than you are? And that's how Jonah ends. And so we zoom out. We go back to this overview. We look back and say, okay, what was Jonah all about? What is this big story? And we see something that I have always found the most important thing. So often I'm asked by people, why is God such a vengeful God, a God who seems to just smite people left and right? And it's one of those, that's one of the things, that's how I know people aren't reading their Bible or not reading it closely. Because you can't help when you read story after story after story to realize the same God that Jonah knew, which is the one he calls him out for, right? I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. You see, when you zoom out and you look at this bigger story, you realize we have a God who isn't causing destruction. It's us that cause the destruction. It's our own sin that causes the destruction. It's simply a God who loves us enough to give us another try and another try to come closer to him. And we're the ones that get caught in the cycle. Praise team, I want to invite you back up as we wrap up. The truth is that God is the faithful one. In story after story, we see that it's God that continues to show up. God is the one who in each story is the one bringing justice and love and goodness. And too often it's when God is not mentioned or God does not speak that it's our sin, our selfishness that gets in the way of knowing God and causes the destruction. And so just like Jonah, we're left with that story of then how do we change that? And that's what next week is all about, the fact that we need a savior. We need someone to come and save us from ourselves.